Sportscast, August 27th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest live going on in sports. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can download the Insta Bible app on the iOS App Store. Like I said before, a lot going on in sports today. But here in the Sportscast, we like to keep a positive outlook and hope for the best. Today, we have a special episode and announcement. But first, we have Mr. Justin Riley all the way from Central Mississippi. Survived a hurricane. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
I don't know if survived is the right word, but because it didn't really affect the area that I'm in. So, but most importantly, the people who it was going to affect weren't really hurt that bad. So that's a blessing.
Were you feeling, was there like any rain, wind, any drizzle or?
Just mainly in this region, rain and some wind. But other than that, been fairly pleasant.
Sounds good. And then, of course, we have Marvin Constant to the Sportscast. Welcome
back.
Well, hey, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to join you all.
Marvin, man. So you're currently like living in, where at exactly?
I'm currently on the north side, a little bit outside of Atlanta in Lawrenceville, Georgia.
That's right. You're in Georgia.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
There's no hurricane going over there.
No hurricane, but it seems like it rains every day. So I'm wondering, do I live in Seattle?
No kidding. Hey, exactly. You're that close to Terry Jones Jr. How come you can't get him over there for a workout?
Me and Terry have this conversation on a regular basis. I think, you know, sometimes guys, they've been away for so long that they're scared to step back into it because they feel like they're not going to perform like they used to perform. You know, so it's more mental than anything else. But he did say if they canceled their season that he was going to start come working out with me because he didn't have practice for an excuse anymore. So
that's right.
See how that goes. Right.
Now, we've had for the past, what, Justin, 4 months of interviewing a bunch of Alabama players. I know Marvin knows most of them. Marvin, which one were you kind of like? I mean, and plus I heard that you've been listening to like most of the podcasts. But which of the interviews did you like the most from, like, these past 4 months?
He inspired a lot of good questions for our interviews, too. So,
I was going to say to Ahmad Galloway, when you know, that whole snake situation.
Yeah.
I know he was not prepared for y'all to ask him about snakes. Yeah. the phone call that I got when it was over, you would have died.
You
could have heard the back end.
What did he say to you?
At first he was laughing, but then he's like, you're going to have Peter looking for me. He's like, hey, man, calm down. It was just jokes.
Man, I was just thinking about that today, man. I was hoping you bring that up. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Galloway was a great interview. Justin had a great time these 4 months. I know Marvin was one of your favorite interviews, Justin, but after him, which one did you enjoy the most? Obviously, I know you're not like the type of guy that will say favorites, but which one did you enjoy the most?
Wow. Man, it's hard for me to pick just one.
I know you say that. They're all your children.
Man, I'm just, you know, the way I look at it is I just been blessed. You know, like God opened an amazing door to be able to spend time with these guys. Just a truly a blessing to hear each one of their stories and the messages each story contained. But if I had to pick one, Marvin, you're definitely one of my favorite.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I truly appreciate that.
One of the first ones.
But I will say,
headway in, yeah.
I will say this, I really enjoyed the most interviewing the guys from our time, Marvin. I feel like that was a special time, special unit, good group of guys. For the most part, each one of you guys have just been so humble and just have had a great story to tell and a great message for everybody, especially athletes coming up. Man, there's a lot of things that these kids just don't hear because what the media feeds them or what's trending or what's popular, they miss out on some important aspects. And guys like you and Ahmad and Terry and a host of others kind of bring it to more down to reality, and that's what we need.
Well, you know what I think it is when you look at that? I think social media played a large role in a lot of these younger athletes. They feel like they're larger than life because they got 200,000-300,000 followers in high school. So
yeah,
for them, it's nothing to have their own platform. So, you know, a lot of them lose that humility at a young age because they feel like, oh, I'm the greatest, this, that, and the third, because at a young age, you know, all over the world, they have all these followers who know who they are. So, but for us, you know, we had to earn what we had. You know, nobody gave us anything. You know, you made a name for yourself on the field and on the field alone. You know, that wasn't social media to promote your agenda.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't personally say that, you know, this generation is a little bit different from yours, but I definitely see a lot of respect, a lot of humbleness, working hard, effort, and things like that. What I've been talking to with Justin, I really enjoyed Rudy Griffin. I had fun with Jalston a whole lot. I think he made me laugh. I think we're just having like fun for some reason. And of course, also Terry, you really got my attention. I think he was a very humble person. You know,
hey, that fireworks story was the best.
Yeah, they weren't happy with me when it happened, but.
And we heard some mixed reviews with Mike Shula. Like, you know, there were some lovers and not so lovers, but
right,
you know, it happens. And then of course we saw some players that was in like the transition between Shula plus Nick Saban. So it's kind of interesting how like the whole dynamic, and you know, some of them felt like, you know, stepchildren, the others felt like they transitioned into that new system. Right, Justin?
Yeah, it's been interesting hearing this perspective from each transition. And my gosh, you know, as you know, Marvin, there were so many transitions back in our day, and it was just a whirlwind. And at times you were sitting there thinking, is this really happening? But it was really cool just to get it from a player's perspective, exactly what that was like. And then passing all that and then heading into the Saban era that we are all now aware of.
Yeah, those transitions can be tough on players, you know, because you got to look at it. New coach comes in, he's getting paid. How many of the millions he's getting paid to coach? He wants to play his guys. You know, he's not really a fan of the former players, you know, the former coach's guys, you know, because, again, coach comes in with his system. So he wants to recruit guys who can run his system. So if a guy's been running a 3-4 his whole, you know, career, and he comes into a defense that's been built to run a 4-3, and he doesn't have a guy who can play that one technique tackle, you know, so he's got to go find his guys to make it work. And for a lot of guys, they can find themselves on the outside looking in. You know, I was in a situation like that due to my injury. You know, new coach comes in, he's like, hey, I know you're injured, but you're taking up a scholarship that I want to give somebody else.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that people have no clue about.
Yeah, which is something that you got to think about, and like the pressure and everything. Anyways, let's transition into this part of the episode. Marvin has a new book, Physical and Mental Fitness at 4D Plus. Marvin, tell us about this brand spanking new book.
Well, the biggest thing for me is, you know, I never had any desire to write a book about fitness, but I have so many people messaging me on a regular basis asking me questions like, hey, you're 40, about to be 41. How do you still look like that? What is it that you're doing that we don't know? Tell us your secrets. So finally, after all the messages, I said, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just get it over with. And I did. And for me, I feel like it's another way of giving back. And I'm sure people will really appreciate the book, you know, because the way I went about writing it, the first 20-something, almost 30 pages, is all reading, just talking about what to eat, when to eat, how to train, how rest is beneficial to you at this age, because rest is just as important as the workout, you know, because your body doesn't recover like it used to at this age. So you got to learn to go sit down at times, you know. So, yeah, you know, just talking about all that. And then I get into the workouts. It's actually three different workout programs with three different skill levels, from your beginners to your intermediate, into what I call people like myself, the gym beasts, who just like to go in there and just tear it down.
You know, you and I talked a little bit this morning about just how critical right now this era in our lives, you know, is. But also, there's a big misconception out there. People, and I've experienced this whenever I've trained. I've been in the fitness industry for countless years, got my degree in exercise science. I've trained athletes. I've trained older people. I've trained younger people. And the misconception is, well, hey, I'm at, you know, name this age. I can't do this anymore. I can't make this change. It's like they think that everything is going to stop and they can't do anymore. Can you talk about that misconception and why people are just so wrong?
You know, a lot of people feel like as they get older, because that's what you've been programmed to think your whole life. You know, once you get to a certain age, you know, you get fat and life falls apart. I'm very blessed that I had great mentors at a young age, from Richard Sandler, former power lifter who holds, you know, Olympic records, Terry Jones, former Alabama strength coach, Ben Pollard, former Texas A&M. So I had a lot of people who taught me a lot over the years. And the one thing that I took away from all of them was take care of your body. You have to listen to your body. So for me, when I set out on this journey, the biggest thing was, how do we get the results we want without hurting ourselves? Because again, you have to think about that at this age. So, you know, I experimented with different workouts, different rest patterns, until I finally came up with the formula that worked best, you know, for my age, you know, because again, I'm about to be 41 in, oh God, another day. So, you know, I know my body does not recover like it did when I.
I think we lost Marvin. Marvin, I think your internet connection went low. Justin, you're there?
Hey, I'm here. I'm soaking all this in.
Yeah, let me tell Marvin your connection went off. Marvin.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, yeah. Continue on. You're talking about that when you you're about to turn 41, and like when it comes to fitness, it's a bit different within your 40s rather than back in your 20s.
Yeah, because the body just does not recover as fast as it used to. So, you know, that rest that you get between workouts, I mean, that is going to be the determining factor, because you think about it. When you're working out, you're tearing muscles. You got to give those muscles a chance to recover, you know. And again, the body doesn't recover at this age like it used to. So, you know, just picking a workout program that's going to give you the results you want and fitting into your lifestyle, that's the biggest thing.
Marvin, will this book be more geared towards like anyone, even like players that used to play football back in the day, or is it for, you know, older people? Like, what demographic you were kind of focused towards?
Well, the book says 40 plus, but at the end of the day, it's for anybody. If you follow me on IG or Facebook, you've seen the image of my son who's 15. Yeah. I taught him how to work out 2 years ago. He stuck to it, sticks to the plan. And he dropped 80 pounds in 2 years.
Wow.
You know, comedian Funny Man. Funny Man is my first cousin. I gave him the plan. He dropped almost, 25, almost 30 pounds in like 3 months. So, you know, it doesn't matter your age. It's all a matter of how bad you want it. Now, it's geared more towards older, you know, well, I'm not going to say older, but people in their 40s, because of the rest and the way the workouts are designed. Whereas younger people, you know, they can still go work out 5-6 days a week and be fine. But they can do it as well.
Talk about how important it is, especially at our age, having a goal, a set goal or a set end game is before going into anything like this. Because I think a lot of people get deterred going into the gym because they just have like a basic goal. I want to lose weight. I want to get bigger. Okay. Well, what is the main goal? What do you want to do? How much weight do you want to lose? How much weight do you want to gain?
Beach body. That's always a good question. How do I get my beach body?
Well, you know, and a lot of people go in not really having that end game. Talking about how important it is to have a set goal that you look to every week, every month, or maybe, you know, every 6 months that you're trying to reach.
Well, you know, one of the things I talk about in the book is habits versus routines. What does everybody always say? I have a bad habit. You don't ever hear anybody say, I have a bad routine. So in developing a routine, that's going to.
We're losing Marvin again. It might be the weights that is giving the interference there. Marvin is streaming live from his gym.
A lot of power coming from that area, man.
Yeah. Which you know, speaking with like the whole transformation. I mean, I remember like when Justin went through a transformation about 5 years ago, and you had to go through a lot of sacrifices. But man, you were beach body ready. Let's just say that.
Well, it's true. Sacrifice is huge in this. The thing is, you got to deny yourself. You got to deny what you did previously that got you to where you were at. And a lot of people don't understand is you got to make a lifestyle change. It's not some fad. You know, it's not whatever's hot in a magazine or whatever's trending. It's about making a complete about face in every area of your life. You know, your eating habits, your cardio, your lifting, lifestyle choices, things like that.
What does that mean? Like, can you go to McDonald's, Justin?
Well, you can have a cheat meal. I'm not saying that you have to just eat perfect all the time. You know, when I was doing this, when I dropped, you know, 60 pounds in 12 weeks, gosh, I allowed myself two cheat meals on the weekend, but I was eating clean and committing to eating clean the other days and the other times. But I was also committing to the cardio. I was also committing to the weights. Can you kind of talk about, you know, what your thoughts on that, Marvin?
Well, one of the things that I found at this age, carbs are a lot more important than calories. You know, when I pick up something to eat, I'm going to look at the carbs first, the protein second, and the calories third, because I like to keep my carbs under 50 grams a day and on my cheat day under 100 grams a day, because, you know, the average recommendation is 200 grams of carbs a day to pretty much maintain where you are. So, yeah. But for me, I'm trying to stay lean as I can. So I like to keep mine under 50. And again, at this age, your body doesn't work like it used to. So when you go eat that Twinkie or that cheeseburger, you know, that metabolism isn't running on 100 miles an hour anymore. So you got to think about that now before you put certain things in your body. And just like you, I have a cheat day. But when I have that cheat day, I plan ahead. I make sure I haven't had any carbs that day, because usually for me, I'm going to eat a cheeseburger. And I know exactly where I'm going to get it from. I know that bun is 24 grams of carbs, and those are going to be the only carbs that I have that day. But it's all about planning ahead. You know, you can't just wing it and think that fitness is going to work for you.
Right about that, Marvin. Yeah, because my cousin was doing some body competition, and he had to watch out his grams. I think he can only eat like 50 grams of carbs, which is like ridiculous nothing. So he had to track that. But yeah, you're right. You got to plan ahead. You just can't like wing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marvin, were you like always in shape like that? Like when I see you now, or you had a little bit of like a dip between your college years and now?
I had a dip at one point because I had a knee surgery, and you know, my body just wasn't recovering, you know, like I thought it would. And I got up to around 305, and I knew at 305 that that weight was not going to help my knee situation. So, you know, one day I just decided, you know, that you know what to do, just get back to doing it, you know, and as hard as it was, because again, you got to think about it. When your body's used to eating bad food, it's just like a drug. When that body's not getting those food, you experience cravings and withdrawals. It's the same thing. So, you know, I just had to fight through that part and get back to where I needed to be. So in the last, it's been about 3 years now. So I came down from 305 to I'm at 215 right now.
Wow. Which is your lowest weight that you'll come down to, right? Is that something, or you want to keep going?
I said I was going to do 210, but I don't think my body will allow me to go any low. You got to understand something. I played in college at 250. I played in high school at 250.
Wow.
I've been at least 225 since I was a freshman in high school. So for me to put on size 34 pants and shorts that's new to me.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, you got a beach body pretty much.
I'm trying.
No, you have it already.
But I'm a perfectionist. So I always.
I got you.
Oh, well, talk about how important eating is, not just the aspect of eating right, but a lot of people still have a misconception. I'm going to only eat one or two times a day. Talk about how dangerous that can be and how it really just will set your metabolism back, and the importance of eating several small meals a day?
I just like to do three meals a day and maybe a fourth one. And the biggest thing for me is I make sure that I'm consuming at least 100 to, I try to keep around 125 to 150 grams of protein a day to support my, my muscle growth. Because again, at the end of the day, I know I don't take in a lot of calories. Usually I keep my calories under 1500. So, you know, on a 1500 calorie diet, it's naturally going to make your body want to go smaller. So I increase my protein to a level to where it will at least support my muscles to keep that part up. And then I make sure that I eat a sufficient amount of green vegetables, you know, for health purposes and just to keep me healthy, you know. So, you know, but for those who want to do small meals a day, that's great. Because again, you got to realize something, those 5 meals a day, they're going to help your metabolism to keep firing, to keep working. Because again, at this age, that metabolism, it's doing this. It's slowing down every day.
Yes, sir.
Anything that you can do to keep it rolling is a blessing.
Small food like rabbit food. Marvin, also in your book, you talk about managing stress. Can you talk about that part of the book?
Yeah, you know, the thing about being an adult, there's a lot of stress. Some of us have jobs we don't like. You know, some people are married to people they don't like. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stress in the world, you know. And like, you know, people have always said, misery loves company. You know, people who are miserable will do everything in their power to drag you to their level. So, you know, it's all about managing those relationships and understanding, okay, just because I'm attached to this person somehow, some way, they don't control my end goal. They don't control what's going to happen in my life, because ultimately it's all on you. And a lot of people fall in that trap of saying, I feel like I'm stuck. You're not stuck. You're making a choice. Now you can make the right choice to fix the problem.
Yeah, that's something that really goes on, you know, like they say, spirit mining plus body. So it's kind of interesting how, you know, when you see people, when they change their diet or when they exercise, they're like, their mind gets clear, they have more energy and things like that. I mean, Justin, you probably felt that when you lost 60 pounds.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that was really important to me, and definitely chime in on this, Marvin, was surrounding myself with the right people, people who are going to support what I'm doing, people who are going to hold me accountable, and also removing toxic people and myself from toxic situations in order to achieve, you know, this goal. How important do you feel like that is when, you know, at our age, we're trying to make a change physically?
One of the most important things you can do is have positive people around you. People that are going to support you and not derail you. I talk about that in the book, because one of my good friends, he goes by Chio. His real name is Travis. He
Marvin, those the interference with the weights are definitely coming through. What happens? It's good. Now we're doing like we know now the test run for the weight room might be an issue, but anyways.
Hey. Maybe you weren't prepared for the power, man. But
Marvin's back.
I'm anxious to hear the story here.
Finish that story.
Man. Well, here's the Xfinity was at my house today, supposedly fixing this internet.
Apparently not.
Right. So anything that's wrong with it, blame Xfinity, because they were here today. So it was.
Okay, so we can go ahead and scratch them off the sponsor list.
Okay. But, you know, my good friend, you know, he was very supportive. Again, he's the life of the party. So I knew the biggest struggle would probably be him when I stopped drinking, because I stopped drinking for a while. So, you know, to get those carbs out. But he was very supportive, him as well as my other friends, you know. And that's the thing. You got to have people who are going to support your dreams and what you're committed to. Because you don't want to be around negative people who are just going to try to derail you at every turn, you know? Because, again, you're only as strong as your support system.
Right.
Marvin, what is the best way for people to buy this book?
They can get it off the website, 40plusstrong.com. That's 40plusstrong.com.
And, of course, if you go to the sportscast.net, you'll see the book link on our website in the sidebar. If you're watching the desktop, if it's mobile, you got to scroll a little bit down and you'll be able to get access to the book. Is, you know, it's funny because when I think of 40, because I'm like a couple of years away, Justin's already there, but hey. I'm feeling like in my 30s, it's not easy to lose weight. You got to eat healthier. And yeah, it's just a whole different ball game, but hopefully, reading Marvin's book could change things. So
let me chime in right there, Santiago. Some people may think it's not easy. It's as easy as you allow it to be. Correct. It's all about the work you put in, because that's a misconception. You know, I lost all this weight, you know, I was approaching 40. So it's not about having this barrier that's going to stop you when you reach this specific age. It's all about the work you put in.
Right, Marvin?
Very, very true. You know, again, if you want it, you can get it, you know, because at 40, you know, I'm still rocking the guns, you know.
Marvin, you're 29.
Well, I drink 2 to 3 gallons of water a day. That's one of the secrets, man. I drink a lot of water. Hydration.
Hydration is huge.
You think about it. Your skin, you know, it's mostly water. If you're not hydrating properly, you're just going to dry it out, you know. So, and I'm just very particular about the things that I put on my body, you know, as far as, you know, when I shower and other things, you know. You got to take care of you as a whole across the board.
Let me go into a tangent. Like, you also tell, like, high school players or even college players to eat right, even though they're working out, like, every day, but they can't go to McDonald's every day, right?
Yeah, but, you know, that's a different diet when you're playing a sport, because those guys are burning 3,000-4,000 calories a day, sometimes 5,000. So, you know, if you burn 5,000 and you're expected to play at 225, you better put 5,001 back in.
Yeah, sure. You're right.
And McDonald's, you know, could do the trick.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
For me, it was Domino's Pizza. That's what – when I played football, Domino's Pizza –
It was $5 back then, right?
Yeah, it definitely. So, you know, Domino's Pizza is what kept me – when I burn those calories, let me go to Domino's.
See, that's the thing, guys. If you want to eat Twinkies all day, you got to play, you know, college football.
Hey,
or join CrossFit, but Justin is anti-CrossFit, so.
There's a lot of arguments I have about that. But, hey, you hit on a very important subject. Calories in must equal calories out. So, if you want to – I mean, I don't want to eat that stuff, but if you insist on eating that stuff and you want to not retain it, you got to burn it off. You got to put in twice the work to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Very true. You know, that's why I try to keep my calories around 1,500 a day, you know, because for me, I know my body, if I get over 2,000 calories a day, I start to gain weight. So, you know, if I'm at 2,100 calories, I can feel that extra 100 calories. So I always make it a point to try to stay in that 1,500 range so that I can stay where I am.
Yeah, that's something that, like the whole measurement. Now, Marvin, for the whole, like, measuring, like, calories, are you using a app, or you're kind of, like, seeing, like, the label and you write it down? Like, how are you tracking it?
Because I eat a lot of the same food.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
And even when I don't – right. And then I'll look at it if it's something that I've never had before. But I've read labels for so much of my life. I just know what most foods are. Because even when I played at 250 at Alabama. Coach said, if you get any bigger, you're going to have to put your hand in the dirt. So even back then, I had to look at what I was eating, you know. I'm like, okay, this is going to make me gain weight. This is good. So, you know, back then, I had to start realizing you got to figure out what's what before you put it in your body.
That's something to track. You know, it could be, you know, knowing the food. If it's, like, very repetitive, you don't have to put it into an app. You know, it's, you know, you don't have to get, like, the Lose It Weight app that people use it and just track what to eat. But definitely get Marvin's book, go to sportscast.net, and you'll see the link. You'll also see the link in the show notes and things like that. Guys, college football is in pretty much in exactly 1 month, Justin. No word from the SEC, I mean, on my end at least, or Alabama, but what have you been hearing lately?
We're just waiting for kickoff right now. There's been nothing to suggest that we are not going to have a season in the SEC and the ACC and in the Big 12. It looks like everything is as planned. So right now we're just a couple weeks away from being back to something normal.
Any word from practice?
Oh, well, just they're grinding, man. These guys are hungry at Alabama. I'm sure Marvin can chime in on this. They're hungry. They're ready to erase what happened last year. There was a bad taste left in their mouth because of underperforming and knowing that they could have gotten a lot further than they did, even with the injury to Tua Tagovailoa. They're motivated.
They're definitely underperformed.
And there's obviously been some news this past week with Tua. I think he's been looking good in practice, but then you hear that, like, he's not looking in practice. Justin, what have you heard?
Just that. Basically, the normal growing pains that any NFL rookie is going to experience, you know, making that transition to that level is a whole different ball game. You know, for some, they can come right out of the chute and they can nail it. Others, man, they're going to have growing pains. And, you know, you can't really read too much into the negatives. You can't really read too much into the positives. But Tua's there, and he's a guy who's going to find a way to make it work and be that next guy for Miami.
Marvin, for Tua, what should he be doing this season or this preseason with no games? But what do you think – what should be his strategy? Learning, like, the system, trying to impress Flores – what do you think is going through his head right now?
I don't know what's going through his head. I'm pretty sure it might be a little bit overwhelming. The fact that, you know, now you're in the NFL and especially playing in a city like Miami. You know, Miami is, you know, it's a very glorified city around the world. So, you know, that comes with a lot of pressure.
I'm
so,
here.
So the thing that, you know, he would need to be doing most is studying that playbook. And I would be talking to defensive backs and secondary coaches, trying to understand what those coverages actually look like in the NFL, because those DBs in the NFL are a lot faster than they are in college. So that window that you thought you had, it will disappear a lot faster. So
you're right.
Yeah, and of course, getting to know everything. Of course, I've been hearing Ryan Fitzpatrick leaving practice early or something. But either way, I do believe that Ryan Fitzpatrick is that bridge quarterback. I hope Tua doesn't play much, maybe like for two games at the end of the season. Justin, you're hoping for no games.
Well, I'm just hoping that they don't try to rush him in too soon. And especially if things go south and they're not winning games, the fans are chirping. They're getting all this pressure, the front offices, the coaches are. I hope they can just squash all that and just stick to the process and have him come in at the right time. Of course, if Ryan Fitzpatrick just underperforms and doesn't do what he's supposed to do, or heaven forbid he gets hurt, yeah, then bring Tua in. But, you know, just let him do his thing. Like Marvin says, study the playbook, learn how it goes, talk to those DBs, talk to those coaches, and learn about how they operate at that level. Because Marvin, you're absolutely right. It's a different world, the NFL. It's a different kind of speed.
And today there was news about the Miami Dolphins trading running back Kalen Ballage to the Jets for a late round draft pick. Marvin, do you think the Dolphins are kind of going to tank again to get more draft picks, or do you think they're going to have a reasonable season?
I just don't think that they're in a solid enough position to really make a run at anything. So, I mean, do you try to force it and, you know, finish in the middle of the pack, or do you pick up the draft picks? I mean, because again, if you're trading guys for draft picks, you're already showing early signs that, hey, we know this is not going to be our year. Let's start stacking up pieces that we need to build later on. Because again, how do you get to where you need to be if you don't have draft capital? That's one of the biggest assets you have as a team.
Yeah, that's something that you know, we've been talking about. Obviously, we don't know what the Patriots are going to do. Are they going to tank for Trevor? Do they see promise with Jared Stidham or with Cam? Justin, who do you think will finish off in the AFC East? Some people are saying are like the Bills will be first, but what is your prediction for the AFC East?
Man, that's a hard part of the conference to really predict right now. I am anxious to see. I think the Bills have an opportunity to go to the next level. You know, last year they really did show some promise. They got some key pieces. They just got Diggs. It's going to be really exciting to see what Diggs is going to be able to do in that offense. I know their quarterback is excited. So, will they be able to – grow from what they did last year? Yeah, it was great they got back to the playoffs. It's been how long since they've been? Well, it's time to do more than just show up to the playoffs. It's time to get there and win some games and go to the next level and show that you're a contender.
That's a Bama answer. I like that. Marvin, 30 seconds, AFC East. How do you think it will pan out?
Honestly, I have no clue.
Me either. We can't rebuild Belichick.
I'm more focused on the North, AFC North with my Ravens.
Well, you know what? The thing about it, that's the team that I think the Ravens have done enough this year to where when they get to the playoffs, they'll have more of a chance in there. You know, the Ravens did a lot of nice things in the draft, you know.
They put themselves
in a position to really make a run. Yes.
How about Earl Thomas, like losing him? You think that was a good thing for the Ravens, or what are your thoughts about that?
I think anytime you have a guy that's disrupting a locker room, or if he's throwing off the chemistry of the team, you got to get him out of there. You got to move him, because here's the thing. You got a bunch of rich superstars. You got rich superstars, they're easily disgruntled. And you don't want them bickering with each other, because that's going to carry over onto the field as well as back into the locker room. You know, you're getting into it with guys like that, with him and I forgot who he had the argument with, the whole situation. I mean, that's going to carry over. And, you know, when you're on the field, guy, first of all, how do you bust the coverage and you're on a blitz? You're supposed to be covering someone, but you're blitzing. I mean, there's so many things that you can talk about with that situation.
Yeah.
Justin, quick 10 seconds. Earl Thomas leaving the Ravens. Is that a huge disappointment for you, or is that a good thing for the Ravens?
I think it's it should have been done a while ago. I agree with Marvin. I think that a poisonous situation can far outweigh the talent level of any player. It can cause a major disruption, a major distraction, and it can create toxicity that it's hard to get rid of, and it will trickle out through the entire season if you don't get rid of it. So removing that from the picture definitely makes the air a little bit more breathable, and it gets their focus on what they're supposed to be doing. And they have the pieces in place to make a Super Bowl run and win the Super Bowl. So getting rid of a distraction like that is definitely going to help. That's why I've been a huge I'm not a fan of Antonio Brown coming there, just because of the negativity it would bring. So,
no.
And of course, if he goes to Baltimore, he'll get a game suspension, so you won't see him until November-ish or maybe October. Anyways, yes, Baltimore is the favorites for the AFC. Of course, they got to get past the Chiefs and potentially the Titans, where Derrick Henry plays. And Earl Thomas is rumored to go to Texas, but we'll definitely keep an eye on that. To the Cowboys, I meant. Houston, I don't think they want him yet, but we'll see what happens in the next couple of days or weeks. Actually, days. It has to be days, not weeks. Anyways, we got a special announcement today. Of course, the Sportscast started about 2.5 years ago, February of 2018. We started with three guys. It was Justin Riley, Mr. Ty Turner, and Ryan Krista. And we began on a journey that we never thought would be big, but there was motivation and energy. And today we have an expansion of the show. We're going to have a Tuesday night, Justin Riley plus Marvin Constant, SEC night. So we'll be talking about Alabama, SEC news, and things like that. And Justin, Marvin, tell us a little bit about your show every Tuesday night.
Well, I'll let our draft pick talk first about what we're going to do.
Oh, we're going to dissect Alabama football across the board. You know, the thing about Alabama football, fans love their players. So, you know, it's a way for fans to get an even more in-depth look at the players by specifically, you know, focusing on those guys. So, you know, and having that ability to have that amount of time to break down them versus their opponents. Because, again, most people don't realize the matchups that really occur on Saturday and how meaningful some of those matchups are. You know, you might have star linebacker Dylan Moses versus some running back or some quarterback. You know, what are the mind games that are going to be played? What is Dylan thinking about? How does Dylan analyze the game? You know, so it's from a player's perspective in what's really going on. You know, and especially dealing with COVID, you don't know what these guys are going through on a weekly basis in preparing to play. So, yeah.
Man, I'm excited because we're going to have you on. This is something that, you know, you and I have been talking about doing for some time now. And I kind of felt like, you know, from our first interview that we had something special there. Wasn't quite sure how that was going to look. But, hey, you know, we got this door that's open to us. We, like you said, we got in-depth analysis. We got something coming from a player's perspective. And a lot of the people out there who are the armchair quarterbacks who think they can dissect and understand everything, you're about to be proven wrong. So So it's the huge dose of reality. And, you know, to be a fan, you know, to understand why things happen the way they are happening, you know, we got to hear from a player's perspective. And I like that coming from you. You know, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what's going on with Alabama. That's our main focus. We're going to talk about the SEC. We're also going to have some guests on. We're not going to reveal too much. Just expect big all the time. That's what we're about.
I have a lot of friends.
Yeah, Marvin, I think more than half of our interviews came from Marvin, right, Justin?
There was a connection with all of it, man. Hey, like I said, a lot of the interviews, we had some great Marvin-inspired questions. So it wouldn't
all be Marvin. Even Justin knew Marvin, I think.
Hey, I told him last time I talked to him that I was the real 45.
That's true. And we've had some 45s on here. So nothing quite like you. That 45.
So every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Your time, Justin, Central time. So definitely SEC nights. Marvin Constant is with the Sportscast. He is our contributor, and it's great to see expansion. We also have some more people, more shows lined up. We might have a recruiting show that will be announced a little bit further along. But you guys are lucky because SEC is playing this fall, and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten aren't. So you guys will be a huge spotlight, like, onto you guys.
Well, I'm excited about that. You know, I mean, the Pac-12, more like the Pac-2. The Big Ten, more like the Big One. So SEC is where it's at. And to be honest with you, the SEC schedule this year, that to me seems like the real college football playoff, because every single week – it's a gauntlet every single week. It means something, and every game can determine the outcome of what we're going to see at the end of the season. So exciting to watch.
Can I say something?
Marvin, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we've proven who's really the toughest conference, the SEC, because the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, they don't even want to play.
That's crazy.
They don't even want to play.
I still can't believe it. Big Ten especially. I can understand the Pac-12.
They're at home with their tissues and their pom-poms. They're going to cheer the SEC on this year. You know, it's going to be quite – they can watch the big boys play, and they can take notes about what football should really look like every week now. So, you know, they can thank us later. So, hopefully, you know, the Michigans and all those guys, they'll get their programs where they should be based off SEC notes.
I totally agree. I think SEC is where college football is really, really at, and definitely, like, they play at the highest level, I believe. And, you know, hey, I don't think they'll care about playoffs or college football. I think winning the SEC title is a national championship. But that's another podcast to talk about. Anyways, Marvin, what's the best way to reach you? And also more information about how they can get your book.
They can get the book on the website, 40plusstrong.com. They can reach me on Facebook, Marvin Constant, and on Instagram, Constant45.
And, of course, we are getting Marvin on Twitter because Sportscast, we work on, you know, through Twitter. So he'll definitely be tweeting something. And, of course, we'll be doing some game day shows. We've been talking about that game day or actually, you know, after the game, a little bit of a post game, how, like, the whole win felt, you know, really fresh off of the television. Justin, what's the best way to reach you to talk to you about losing weight?
Well, you can talk to either one of us. We might even have a joint Twitter account.
You know, I just got to recover my password. I just haven't used my Twitter in a while. So, but you know, I can get my Twitter back activated. I just have to recover my password.
Yeah, trust me, you'll get a lot of engagement. Anyways, Justin.
Yeah. Before I say that, I want to remind everybody we have one final Alabama Legends interview this Tuesday. 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be Alabama great running back and Dallas Cowboy great running back, Sherman Williams. Truly powerful story of redemption. You definitely want to tune in for this final episode before we launch into our new show with Marvin.
Which begins on September 8th, 2020.
Right. As far as reach me on Twitter, at JustinRiley7. On Instagram, at JustinRiley_7. You can also find me contributing to the Sportscast on Twitter and Instagram, at TheSportscast1. Also, you'll find some articles of mine on TheSportscast.net.
TheSportscast.net, of course. And you can reach us on Twitter, at TheSportscast1, for the latest and greatest. Tomorrow, we have Ryan Krista to mesh out what's happening with the NBA, NHL, MLB, and that's it. There's three sports leagues. Also MLS. Might as well add that. So he's our one of our.
What about the WWE?
What was that?
What about the WWE? I mean, that's still going.
I don't know if Ryan follows wrestling. Good question. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe. But wrestling, we could have a show later on the road, but obviously Ryan has a full plate with Alabama and Marvin, so we'll definitely keep you guys up to date. Anyways, guys, it's been a great show. Looking forward to the show of Marvin and Justin starts on September 8th, all SEC, all Alabama. And I don't think we'll have a big college football preview show because we could because there is three conferences, but it's going to be pretty weighing down.
Well, there's one conference and a bunch of other pretenders.
There you go. There you go. Hey, you
anyways, got Marvin, Justin, thank you very much. Marvin, welcome to the Sportscast.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.